You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kane today with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. A mixed pre-market as the debate this morning shifts as to whether we're in a new bull. S&P 20% off the October lows today. B of A declares the new bull market has legs. Our roadmap begins with the return of the bull, the S&P. As we said, highest close of the year, up 20% from that October low.
Plus Tesla's rally, it is rolling on. Stock's now up more than 100% this year. It is on track for what would be its 11th straight daily gain. And I did some back of the envelope figuring. I'll share that with you as well in terms of Musk's overall numbers. No worries, by the way. That's Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg when he's talking about Apple's new Vision Pro, saying, quote, it does not have magical solutions to the laws of physics that they haven't already tried.
Let's get to the markets. As we said, back in so-called bull territory. Interesting, Jim, to see B of A be so plain about it. The title of the report is Bye Bye Bear.
Well, I have to tell you, the five facts piece, that's FAQ, was, I felt, not what I wanted to see. You don't want a bull market that's basically led by Carvana. Now, they did not mention Carvana by name, David, but, you know, you have basically, if stocks are reviled, why is the S&P trading at 20 times earnings? Well, all of this is basically like, we shouldn't be in a bull, but there's nothing we can do. And there's going to be FOMO. You want to be actively a stock picker. And then, David, of course, I have to mention right up front, because he's the oracle of AI. How do I invest in AI is a question. Now, that answer I've given 1,000 times. So yes, I regarded this piece, Bye Bye Bear, as Bye Bye Happiness.
Woo, that's it. Done with that.
Good song.
Yes.
Okay. Now that we've gotten rid of that.
Yeah.
Well, we defenestrated that piece of paper.
Defenestrate? Just a second.
It's a good one.
You know that
everybody,
one.
The reason why I didn't like the piece, what it basically says, okay, we're up from the bottom. And now what do we do? I would have liked to have seen something that's more rigorous. Like, maybe we shouldn't be here with a 5.5%, you know, 6 months. Maybe we don't belong here given the fact that inflation can roar back. But none of that. No, it was all ethereal. It was all, frankly, David, an indictment of the bull market to come, with many charges, none of which seemed really significant other than the espionage charge. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, there was nothing significant about it other than the fact it was catchy.
Right. So you don't think it was a rigorous analysis on the fundamentals why the stock market really should go higher?
Right. And I don't want that. I don't want reportage about why we're in a bull. I want reasons.
Do you have any reasons? Do you think we're in a bull, or are you more
I think we've
cautious?
Been in a bull since October, and that the bull market's led by tech. And as soon as we broaden out, we have the fiascos of Carvana and the upstart short squeeze and lots of different junk. And everyone likes enterprise software now, even though very few are making money. So now we're back in that world. And you know what's going to happen next week? Four letters, begins with the letter C, and there's always a line in front of it. And it's going to signify the new junk bull market that I most fear, Cava. That's going to be a red hot IPO. After that, it's going to be biotech. Then it's going to be enterprise software. And then it's going to be nonsense fintech. And the next thing you know, we're back to where we used to be, which is awfully.
It'd be nice to see an IPO.
Oh, you're going to see plenty. Oh, no, the floodgate's about to.
Real? Oh, come on.
Well, that would have been better. The bye-bye.
We've had no, we've had no IPO activity now for 18 months, practically. By the way, M&A activity remains
IPOs.
At a very low number. It's why you know, John Waldron from Goldman Sachs walks around pretty depressed all the time.
But
it's like Debbie Downer.
You mean like he needs lithium? More of a...
I'm just saying. He shows up maybe Bloomberg.
Boost Bar? I mean, that could work for him. Those others, if
there's just
else works.
Not a lot of capital. There's not a lot going on. So okay, Carvana may be important. I don't know if it's going to open the floodgates.
The
though,
difference
Jim.
Between you and your view...
Carvana,
and me,
sorry.
And my
Cava.
View... No, quite forget...
Cava
is not a short.
Carvana and Cava.
It's Carvana versus Cava, and the same thing. When Cava opens at a premium, what happens is John Waldron gets off his antidepressants, gears up the machine. That's, Solomon stays in his job.
He's
dynamite.
Not gonna be happy with his conversation.
And what we have is...
What do we have?
The kind of thing that you and I hate. A summer rally based on companies that have no... That are Joby.
Let the good times roll.
That are Joby.
Well, short positioning Joby is as dramatic as it was during the great financial crisis. You got $5.5 trillion in money market funds. This could go on for a while.
But it's not going to be anything we like. It's going to be on in the way it was in 2021, where we had so many. We had 600 IPOs. Half of them, David, are companies that you can't even talk about on air because they're too small.
That's true.
I mean, like yesterday, we get a great memo every night. I don't know if you look at it, but Wheels Up was on it. And we work today, David. Someone took the price target down to 20 cents. I mean, that's
somebody still covers that. No, that's not.
Well, they're paid. Now, can I be not facetious for a second?
Wheels
the Kava deal is going to be red hot.
And we work.
And there's so many biotech deals that are David, there are biotech deals that are caged animals ready to come out here. And we're going to have to ring the bell. And it's going to be a company that has a cure for ingrown toenails.
I will do it gladly. It'll be nice to have an IPO, and you can always...
You're going to have so many IPOs, your head's going to spin.
We're not going to have so many IPOs, our head's going to spin. There's only one important IPO coming this year, that's Arm. That's the big one. That's later in the year.
Stripe's coming.
Arm Holdings. Yeah, okay. And
maybe some restaurants.
Stripe.
A lot of restaurants are coming. A lot of restaurants. Many biotech.
What's interesting about the B of A call, Jim, is that their fundamental analysis is still pretty negative. They're talking about...
That's why I didn't like it.
The credit crunch. Yeah. You had 11 defaults in 4 weeks.
That's why I felt that...
Claims are spiking.
The defaults. Now, if you go back over the Carvana, which to me is the story of the day, is stock, by the way, up 4% and 11%. Maybe it's time for an equity offering.
All right, well...
It's about the fact that they kept the bad loans on, and the loans turned out to be not that bad. And all's forgiven. Affirm has very few bad loans.
Well done for those who hung in there, because it did feel, the rumors of their bankruptcy were greatly exaggerated. We remember that period where the stock was in the low single digits. There it is.
Well, people thought it was going better. But go back to what Carl's saying, which is my problem with this market, with that piece, is, here's five reasons why this shouldn't be happening, but it's going to happen anyway. I like the bull market that was led by the Magnificent Seven. That's my kind of bull market. Companies that are innovative, changing the game, doing great things. I don't want companies that are used car companies that are now making $6,000 per unit. That is not the stuff of a bull market.
Okay. How about Joby and Archer? Are they?
The return of the car, of the flying
car. Remember, the flying car is back.
That's a flying pig.
I talked about the flying. My favorite moment was that Morgan Stanley analyst who estimated that market in trillions.
Well, that's called the top.
That was a classic.
That's called the top.
How that was allowed to get through the
censors. That was the top.
But
do you know the word cocaine was in that song? Because it was not illegal at the time.
Canaccord Genuity initiates coverage of Archer. I haven't even heard these names. And Joby with buy ratings. Where are those stocks these days, by the way?
Those are stocks that are flying pigs.
Flying cars are back, Carl. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Blade is actually got a good business, BLD. Yeah. But it's lumped in with
back,
Joby, and we were the...
It's actually, has passengers who are paying money to take them places.
They're surpassing 2019.
I am sick of their helicopters ruining my time when I'm gardening.
Oh, yeah, that was an issue. I know, sitting up on the roof. Although Wiesenthal say it's not us.
It's the tourist
people from New Jersey who come over.
Army UE helicopters.
Well, speaking of mobility, Tesla is on track for an historic 11 days of gains, and GM's moving higher as well. Both companies, as you know, forged this EV charging network agreement, allowing GM customers access to 12,000 Tesla superchargers beginning early next year, similar to the deal that Ford struck with Tesla last month.
Right.
In 25, GM will start building EVs using Tesla's ChargePort. And yesterday, Mary Barra of GM elaborated on the agreement during a Twitter Spaces conversation with Musk.
When you think about the fact that, Ford, General Motors, and Tesla are all now on this charger, every American automaker, I think this goes a long way to getting the right standard for the United States, and I hope others will follow. But I think this is really important because from a General Motors perspective, this almost doubles the amount of chargers that the GM customers will have access to starting, in spring of 24.
All right, so David. This is important because you spent more time with Musk than most people.
Yes, I have.
You know what's been absent, both with Mary Barra, whom I think is terrific, and with Jim Farley, is someone who says You know what? We've been in business for 100 years. We've tried to lead, be leaders, but we failed versus this guy who started out of nowhere, and we're capitulating because his is better than ours. They won't say it. Why? Too proud?
Well, because they're his competitors. You never would say that as his competitors, would you?
Well, what? We deal in lead? We're competitors?
Well, I mean, we're going to say what? Well, we've lost?
No, no, no. Why is there not more reverence about how this person's come from out of nowhere, and we have to adopt his standard, not our standard?
Well, do they have a standard is one question. Also,
true.
Policy out of the White House has sort of incentivized one standard.
That's
if you
very true.
If you want to get some of these dollars.
But we have a union president. Is you were down there. Is it that the union people go
no,
to the UAW?
No, the factory is not union.
So what do you think about this?
I think it Musk for sure still probably is not happy with the fact that, and it's incredible to think that you had an EV summit and you didn't invite Elon Musk. I mean,
but, okay, so
like,
I let him go.
How could you do
now
that?
I'm going to reveal what really happened.
Wait, what?
It's a Trojan horse for Jim Farley.
What's a Trojan horse for Jim Farley?
Charger.
I don't understand.
Farley's the winner. The F-150 needs nationwide charging.
Well, all of these things need nationwide charges. You need a national standard. And now, actually, that may be the most important part of this, is they're basically saying Tesla's is the national standard.
Right. Well, I'm saying that he won that battle.
Yes.
But in the end, if...
No one's going to remember whose standard it was in the beginning.
Right.
It's just a matter of driving sales outside of California and Palm Beach.
And that's why I'm telling you that Ford is the winner. That Ford's going to do $6 billion in cash, free cash this quarter.
I know you Street thinks too. That.
Well, yeah, because it's going to be right.
Okay. But you're really you're out there, because then when you're not right, I'm going to have to call you on it.
You can do whatever you want. You think I care?
No, I don't. I know you don't care.
Yeah.
How about the charging revenue that Musk is going to get? Not to mention the tax credits on
Musk
the Model 3 and Cybertruck.
Ever since that interview with David, and I saw the human side, the human face of Musk,
yeah,
I love him. I've taken the stock up for 11 straight days.
You know, I'm not saying it's not just a coincidence, but the stock is up about 44% since our interview.
Personal wealth?
I did some back of the envelope. So there it is. Since the interview with Elon, right, what are we up? Yeah, 49%. The overall market value of the company is up $266 billion.
Since the interview?
Elon's net worth as a 13% roughly, $34.5 billion.
Okay, then I can ask you the key
question. So since the interview, $34.5 billion in net worth increase, which of course is only $10 billion shy from the entire purchase price of Twitter. Let's stop talking about
it. It's obviously cause and effect, and I get that. But I need to ask you this. I've waited for this for 11 straight up. Was that moment, the moment where he said nothing, what did you think at that moment to calculate the odds that he was going to rip his microphone off and leave?
I didn't think it for a minute that he was. It was only afterwards, because really? Carl was in the studio talking to other people who were watching it in a different way than I was, who were like, thought maybe he was going to leave.
He's done.
I thought it was a drop mic. I thought it was definitely going to happen to you.
I had no expectation. I didn't know what was coming, but I did not think he was going
to. All right, well, that answers that question. I've been
asked. So I'm happy you asked that, but it has gone quite well. And to your overall point, I want to understand, though, why you think Ford is the... Tesla's going to control all of these charging stations. People are going to be stopping them every day.
Because the F-150, that was the
one. It's a new revenue source. I mean, it's a growing revenue source. And then they can do different things at the charging stations.
If you want to be a business person making your rounds, you can't possibly have a missed appointment because you ran out of whatever. This is about the F-150 becoming the dominant EV vehicle of our time, not just the dominant truck. Mm. But EV vehicle.
Manufacturing costs are lower at Tesla. Sourcing may be better. Components superior in terms of batteries and competition. Somebody sent me some things who's obviously quite positive on it. I am sort of going through that.
That's the
argument from the bulls.
Carl and I went to
a party. That's not an analyst, by the way.
Carl and I went
owner.
To a party. Do you think it was charged by the traditional electric company? No. It was by the F-150. I am telling you, I want you to put all your bets, every single chip, on the F-150.
So, and what about GM and Barr?
I like GM.
You're really focused on Ford.
Well, because Ford is inexpensive stock. I'm going to reveal everything right now. I'm not supposed to. Day after Juneteenth, I'm going to Ford.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're going down there?
Yeah.
or
now
up
I gotta
there
take that back because I'm not supposed to
over
say
over there.
It.
Yeah,
it's called Detroit, David. It's a big
Thank
city.
313.
They had teams. They got teams there.
They got some teams.
Yeah,
they got some teams.
Yeah,
Lions could be good this year.
Yeah. So I just the cat is out of the bag. The F-150 is out of the bag.
That's news.
You're going to be driving.
Kramer's going
F-150.
To Ford.
I am not going to be driving the F-150. I am actually going to drive a race car with my man, Farley.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I am actually going to go Formula One. I'm actually thinking about Formula
No
One.
Kidding.
No, I'm totally kidding. There, I just did the biggest.
That's a long tease you just did there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about that in the
long
coming days.
Long-dated tease.
Yeah. When we come back, some more fuel for the Netflix rally today. We'll get some details as we get a new street high of 535. We'll tell you who. Take a look at futures. We'll get to this upgrade of Adobe, downgrade of Target. A pretty eventful Friday when we come back.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Netflix is on track to open at a fresh 52-week high. Pivotal today, raising to a new street high of 535. They were at 425. Meantime, the Journal says that Netflix's password sharing crackdown is paying off. Paper cites data from streaming analytics provider Antenna that between May 25th and May 28th, new subs in the U.S. jumped by the highest four-day rate since that firm started tracking metrics in 2019. There's some argument that that is beginning to show some green shoots.
Maybe 100 million more people. And we know from the work that Jeff Green's done at Trade Desk, which is the most important other than Google and ads, a sub, an ad-driven sub, is worth so much more than a non-ad-driven. This thing could have an explosion in sales. So I think the move is warranted, and I think the piece was excellent.
The pivotal piece goes on to say that they continue to believe in the next few years management tries to sell, and they think Microsoft's the most logical buyer.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought that that was the kind of thing that I put out there as a joke, and then David shoots down, and we all have a good kind of a chuckle.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think that's bizarre.
They can't.
I don't know why you'd include that in a
note.
Well,
I'll tell you what's interesting.
Want everybody to take you seriously about everything else you wrote.
Yeah, now Netflix, they bless that, but they won't bless Activision Blizzard.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the analyst, he does say it would require something about a
different administration.
A more favorable administration of consolidation.
Right,
the idea that, first of all, Microsoft, as your buyer, is perhaps somewhat unexpected as a name.
Right.
I mean, not completely.
Well, he probably sat back and said, let's
Amazon?
Say,
would it
should
be
I
Apple?
Say Tesla? No, I'd say
it's more likely
Oracle.
Netflix will turn around and buy something.
Oracle's going to have a good quarter.
They get sold themselves at some point. Who knows?
Yeah.
Bernstein yesterday was trying to throw darts at the wall on who would buy Lyft, for example.
What a week this is. People like get up and say, man, I got to justify how much I'm paid. Let me come up with some silly things. Lyft. Now, I happen to like the new guy at Lyft, and I think he's terrific.
Lyft's got, a market value of nothing, right?
Well, no, Lyft's real, and the guy who runs it is real.
Oh, $4 billion.
No, Lyft is real. And they're doing special airport pickups that I think are going to help them. No one believes except for me. I don't care. I'm an iconoclast.
Yes, you are. You're one who establishes challenge beliefs.
Yes. Yes. You on the hand are a legend.
A legend?
A legend. I'm an iconoclast.
Okay.
I think when I say this, what I'm saying is that, you know, we had no earnings this week to speak of. Other than a company that really had a genuine surprise, the DocuSign quarter. Now, the CEO, if I could speak for him, because he was completely incoherent. Sorry, but he should have talked about healthcare, EMR. He was. I mean, he was like, I don't know, we're doing well.
We tell
no,
him
it came on. I can make a much better case than he can. I thought about it, what to say, He came on and said, you know, we're doing better than people think. First, you talk about how billings turned out to be better. I didn't think billings would be that good. But second, you talk about medical records. And that is that Cerner took it, David Epic took it, but he didn't go there. So I'm going to have to talk to him later about how to sharpen his pitch. And then off to the race.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Dan Ives later, who, along with Tesla, changes his target higher on Docu as well. That's coming up.
Dan Ives, I'm telling you, he is nobody like him.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere, that Dan Ives. Covers every company in technology.
No, it's incredible. And, no, only interesting companies.
I don't know how he does it.
He's not going to cover Samsara, for instance.
No.
We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash and count down to the opening bell on this Friday morning. Futures continue to be mixed, although we're seeing a little hope around tech today. Don't go anywhere.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
All right, let's get to a mad dash. Sorry, everybody. Just looking at something here. We also got an opening bell and the week about 3 minutes from now. What do you want to hit?
There's a company that reported, and until it reported, the stock was just flying. It's called On Holdings. This is considered to be a serious challenger in the footwear business. Some people feel it is only a running shoe. It's got much more than that. UBS, not Evidence Lab, by the way. UBS says, okay, it's time. It's managed to kind of churn. And it's saying it's making progress in apparel. It's got a China strategy. Carefully manages its own growth. David, I think the stock's going to explode to the mid-30s. And the compound annual growth rate, 5 years, 44%. So this made it to $1 billion in sales far faster than Nike did. And I think a lot of people have asked me, what about this company? Why is the stock stalled? It had way too quick a gain. But now it is ready. And I think it's going to fly.
I'm sorry. It's ready because?
It's because it went up too fast. And now it's digested all that.
It's consolidated.
Consolidated. Now, I will tell you.
But the business
is just incredibly strong. And it was the quarter was great. I have no idea why it went up so much ahead. They did. But the reason why it stalled was that people felt there was elevated inventory level. That's always bad. But this piece says they like to carry a little extra inventory. This is Roger Federer's company. I think that this company is a stock that I have identified as one of my favorite junior growth stocks in the entire market. And you want to watch this. It's a really great company.
Speaking of the consumer, did we get to the Target call today?
We can't. It's too depressing.
Oh, the city goes, they were at 170. They go to 130, I think, somewhere in that range. On the idea that they are losing share and highly susceptible to a cut in discretionary spending.
Well, and also the dot-com doing very poorly. There are a lot of people who feel that behind the scenes in that is the return of student debt payments. And that's going to hurt it. But it's almost like they had a mold, and it was a devastating thing.
Let's get the opening bell here in the CNBC real-time exchange with the big board. It's clean energy company Net Power going public via SPAC. At the NASDAQ, it's fintech company dLocal celebrating 2 years since going public. I'm still getting over your view on how we're going to open the window on IPOs.
Oh, no, this a SPAC today is indicative. Kava's going to be so hot that people are going to say, you know what? Once again, I can do an IPO, and David knows this how it works. They'll have a series of IPOs where they'll do only, say, one-tenth of the stock.
You mean 10% of the company.
Yeah, they'll control the float.
They'll say,
listen, this is the next Kava. People will be sucked in. It'll work. It works for the first 3-4 months, and it gets everything back again. Summer rally, they can do it.
That's a lot of pressure you're putting on Kava. Just feels to me like that's not necessarily a name I would really hang a lot on. It's not a technology company that there's a million of them coming behind it in the same industry. It's not AI. It's just a restaurant chain.
Yeah, but that's what's so seductive. It's something that everybody can understand. It's visceral.
I'm going to take the other side on this one, opening up the IPO window.
Done.
Interesting.
Right. Do you have any of that bracelet?
Are you willing to put your money on Goldman, Morgan, Stanley, JPM?
Oh, the whole shooting match wins on this. Yeah. Well, Goldman's a little tougher. Morgan Stanley, geez, that's still reeling from Gorman. We didn't talk enough about Gorman retiring. It was seminal.
Well, it is. It's not till the end of the year. He still will be chairman. I think what's interesting at Morgan Stanley, and a question always for these companies, is he set up this sort of internecine war between the three camps.
I think it's internecine.
Thank you. Is it?
Well, you're so given to hyperbole, I don't know.
Hyperbole.
You may well be right. It's, you know, who knows? At this
the machinations of you.
Saperstein and Sinkowitz and Pick, right? And
you're like, talking about the threesome?
Yes, that are trying to become CEO. Yeah. I just wonder.
What about
wonder
your friend
sometimes
who went to
whether
Paul
that can be counterproductive.
Oh, you mean to have, like, bake-off?
Yes.
Three-way bake-off?
Correct.
It's always counterproductive. There's different factions. Losers all have to leave.
Right.
It's winner take all, loser take none.
I wonder why, if you're the board, you don't actually just, all right, he's leaving at the end of the year, and this is who's taking over.
I don't know. I think it's the Waystar situation. You have a three-way, right? I think Shiv gets it.
I'll tell you what, for all the worries about the consumer, as we just said, Etsy, Carnival, Norwegian, Expedia, all helping to lead at the open here.
Well, you know, Etsy, people feel they're going to miss the quarter. I think that Josh Silverman's doing a great job. We had a piece the other day saying Expedia is going to miss the quarter. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that these stocks, I think the Norwegian Cruise is doing incredibly well, but Frank Del Rio yesterday, last day, sad to see him go. Royal Caribbean has actually led this market. It's the number one stock since the S&P was at this level last time around. RCL. So these are all very strong. And they're off to do, David, once again, we're all long on money, and we're short on time.
Okay. That's long on money.
Your short life is short time. Thesis is intact.
It's more than ever intact.
Yep.
But sadly.
Liquidity, though, is not overabundant, and that's been one reason. It's really the whole story.
The money's
going to
come in.
Year
the money's going to come in from the sidelines. That's
is
part
it,
of it.
Is it?
Yes.
That's what I wonder how sticky that money is. When you're earning 5.3%, whatever the number is.
But we got hype. I mean, I was on a call yesterday where someone said, can you tell me how much AI you have in your business? And the guy said, none. And it was like the stock went down in the middle of the call. None? Whoever answers none to AI. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm doing it. My wife's a mescal company. Filled with AI.
Maybe an honest answer.
93%
AI. You don't want to say that. You want to say, well, we're experimenting with all sorts of generative.
David, what you say is, I wish I could talk about it.
We're working with the data providers to put together what we think is a model that really is going to help make us superior and drive.
My favorite was,
drive automation and productivity.
Where the CEO, they use AI for the drive-through, and the CEO always goes up and tries to fool the AI and can't fool it.
You love that Jack in the Box.
I do. Yeah. Well, the 2,000 stores do a decent chart.
Kind of brings us to Meta. Zuckerberg with some comments about the Vision Pro. The Journal with this piece about how they've shown employees now a Twitter killer, in their view. Maybe called Threads, we don't know. But that they're working to release as soon as they can.
Didn't it read like a food fight between Zuckerberg and Apple? Like, hey, mine's better because it's $4.99. Theirs is too expensive. I don't like them. Na-na-na-na-na. It did.
Yeah.
It did, right?
Kind of. It is a lot more expensive. Well, he was talking about the fact you've got to have the battery with it. It's got to be wired in. You can't get it around.
But one has avatars and one will have 3D.
Here's what Zuckerberg says. Our vision at least, is fundamentally social. By contrast, every demo that Apple showed was someone sitting on a couch by themselves.
I know. That was really interesting and a bummer. I played basketball with Zuckerberg when I was in the metaverse, and I crushed it, frankly. I crushed it. Dunked it, crushed it. I felt like Allen Iverson, another Philadelphia.
Yeah, well,
that's my AI.
We'll always have that video of Allen the two Iverson. of you and Zuckerberg missing your high five because he couldn't figure that out. It's great. It's a great moment.
You have to scrape the bottom of the barrel for something to about me. Jeez.
Here we are. Here's our little video.
And by the way, we'll probably get more news next week on this front because AMD's got a chip event.
Oh,
and we'll get
Adobe controversial. AMD's going to be very controversial. Are they going to be the chip that HP uses with Microsoft to make it so that your PC is the way to go chat the next generation. That's what I'm looking for. And I have the added advantage of going to be right.
Okay. You say so.
If you say, Dave, we have a podcast. No one heard that. What did you say?
I said, if you say so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, next week's packed, by the way. Not just the chip event at AMD. We're going to have meetings at Home Depot and Salesforce. And then there's CPI, Fed, ECB, BOJ.
I think Salesforce is going to be very good, but they did revamp their entire top team. Home Depot is going to be very controversial because the last quarter was bad. They will have a spring that I think could be implicated. You know, it's going to be difficult to have a spring if you can't see the plans. Got to get through that period.
We are. I mean, thankfully, the air quality today is far better
than Philadelphia.
No,
we're
we're back to almost normal levels.
No, but it's it's garden season, which is historically their Christmas, so to speak. I hope they tell a good story, but I also think they have to talk about shrink. They have a bad shrink problem.
They do as well. Yeah,
I think they may have among the worst.
Home Depot.
Yeah, because if you go on Amazon, a lot of their stuff is for sale on Amazon, but they don't sell on Amazon.
Right. You know, I mean, Carl mentioned it. You didn't want to discuss it. But downgrading Target now at Citi, now to a neutral from a buy?
Nobody's perfect.
That's true. We love that movie, too.
Joey Brown.
Yeah. But I don't know. And ask not for whom the bell tolls.
It was not the piece is a painful piece because Brian Cornell is not doing that badly. I predict next week someone will say this is the term about all the enterprise software companies. David, get ready for this term for the new bull market. De-risked.
De-risked. Is it de-risked? It's been a rough month for that stock. You can see it right there.
They also have a lot. They have a bad shrink problem.
Yes,
remember,
we know
500 million more in addition.
That's what started off.
They're one of the only ones to quantify it.
Well, right. They're also ones that keep stores open in neighborhoods, perhaps that they shouldn't, because they're committed to the neighborhood, which I think in the end is going to be very valuable, but right now does not have any earnings per share.
There are talking at Citi. Over the past 2 weeks, we've seen a noteworthy deceleration in Target store traffic.
Did you see the
Now, that
the
also figures into the culture wars, where they have been...
it is cultural.
Right, it's taken them to task.
Kohl's has cultural... Who else
displays.
Has Kohl's?
Yeah.
Target, Bud Light. Now, a lot of people worried about Bud sales come football season because unless they destroy it, it's going to flood the market with very expensive beer.
But that has been a wake-up call to corporate America. And again, we've discussed this in the past in terms of when you choose to be visible and vocal on certain issues and perhaps when you don't. In this case, it was an advertising campaign that went badly or right, did not seem focused on their core customer.
No, but...
But they were trying to actually broaden out the base of who their
because,
customers
you know,
are.
You, look, the article
said they alienated a lot of their
well,
customers,
Well, I mean,
apparently.
Look, I've been... Every day we debate talking about this because in our travel trust is Constellation Brands. And Constellation Brands has been a huge, SDC, a huge beneficiary of this, but I am reluctant to say it because I don't want to...
No, I mean it's you can't ignore the effect it's had not just on Bud's share but the beer market at large.
It's upside down now.
Yeah.
Molson's been great. Constellation's been great. The Constellation numbers are going to report soon. I think they're going to be spectacular. And a lot of it is Modelo taking share from Bud, not at a bar, but in supermarkets. Look at that.
Yeah.
Now, is this something that? Constellation spoke, Bill Newlands. He's not going to sit here and say, hey, you know what? And boy, are we good and they're bad. Nobody wants to. It's not what anyone at the companies that have been winning wants to talk about. And I think that that's right. They shouldn't crow. What do you crow for?
It's surprising in many ways. It's not. I'm sure it's not exactly what Anheuser-Busch ever thought it would be.
Believe me, Constellation did not think that they would be going up in Nielsen's this rapidly.
No, or that the Constellation
the Nielsen numbers were extraordinary for Constellation.
Or that, frankly, Target thought it would be seeing at least some reduction in traffic, store traffic, as a result of.
Target's tough because they want to obviously protect their cashiers in the front, but in their website, it's very low. No, you don't have to protect anyone in the website.
Right. It's interesting because Citi's got some additional work today looking at what they're calling, I think it's household available cash flow, which they argue will worsen in the second half of the year. And yet we did have household net worth in Q1 at a one-year high.
Right, but Bank of America did come out with some numbers saying that spending has come down from lofty levels. I want to just say, Brian Cornell is an amazing merchant. They have more, they have about a dozen of their house brands that are doing well. This could change on a dime because Target is a loved institution in this country, and I think that, that can happen. I think Dave is right. I think that this is not an early call. And David, you know, the idea that America is going to write off Target and just go to Walmart and Costco, I wish it were true because those Walmart and Costco are great. But if you have a one-bedroom or two-bedroom, you ain't going to Costco. Costco is a core position for my trust, and I love Costco. I think it's fantastic. New book coming out about why I love Costco. I'm going to interview the writer.
Oh, cool.
But I will say that if you think everyone's going to Costco and Walmart and not going to Target, I'm not buying that rap.
Right. Well,
the one tailwind they do have, Jim, I don't know if you've seen the New York Fed's global supply chain pressure index at an all-time low. All-time low in terms of supply chain pressure. Now, there's, you know, we got the West Coast ports we're dealing
right.
with.
But no, I mean, everything's
you can
come
ship
back
anything
to,
anywhere right
look,
now.
Look, the moment that Rich Galanti, the CFO of Costco, got rid of his fleet that he had bought, you know, they bought a fleet of boats to get stuff from Asia. They sold the fleet. They don't need the fleet anymore.
They don't.
No. They get all the stuff they want. Did you know there's a new beef cycle?
Gotta be careful. Beef cycle.
Yeah. Beef has spiked beyond. Beef could hit the CPI band. Feeder cattle.
And that is why. Do you know what the
underlying... The herds are too small.
They are?
Yeah.
And that's a result of... Do we know why?
I've been working on it, but you might want to take a look at Tyson.
Okay.
Tyson's been down a lot. And it's mostly because they've been horrible at what they do.
Tyson.
Yeah. No, I don't mean that. They're really nice people.
I mean,
some of the nicest people.
Ever. Food prices, both here and in Europe, are increasingly the swing factor.
I know. I worry. Costco's doing its best to try to keep food prices down, but the steer rally, David, is not to be ignored. You just can't. You can't ignore it. It's
can't
pretty
ignore,
amazing.
I have been ignoring the steer rally.
Well, it's about to, you got to change.
I tend to buy more steak in the summer. Get
with the times. It's going to be one expensive barbecue for July 4th, and people are not ready for it. They're going to see the price of beef, and they're going to be shocked at how it's come back. Beef super cycle.
Beef super cycle.
Beef super cycle.
Yeah. All right, Carl.
We've been through it before, too. Right? We did lumber, and we've done sugar, and...
Look, I'm just telling you, I'm putting it out there that beef has just rallied, you know, incredibly. And no one's paying attention to it. And it's going to matter a lot. People are going to be talking about it.
You know what I thought about you yesterday? Because when the VIX started flirting with the 12 handle.
I told you, you got in your 12.
Jim said 12. And David and I looked at each other like, what, are you really?
He looked like me as if I had three heads.
Yes.
But I
not an
it.
Atypical look
and
from
I'm
me.
I'm going to get Taiwan Semis moving here. I'm going to get a new look at the VIX from my friend Mark Sebastian tonight. But he was the one who actually said, Jim, look out, this thing's going to go. And that was when it was at about 20. This thing's going to 12. And, I mean, talk about a home run call. I like to give credit where credit's due.
Well, speaking of credit, NVIDIA's up again, 2%.
Oracle, they
are. Creeping back towards that $1 trillion mark that we obviously made a lot of. What was that, Monday?
They're being very quiet right now, being cagey, NVIDIA. Very quiet.
And well, how about Taiwan Semi closing in on 104?
Well,
that's not far from a one-year
they
high.
They do. They're working around the clock on the H200. By the way, the Chinese deflation and no H200.
Oh man, producer price out of China. They just can't get it.
Do you know how hard it is to break a deflationary spiral? People laugh.
Well, Japan, and that's what you look at, is right. I mean,
I'm not going to reiterate it. You know my feeling.
I do. Paper Tiger.
Paper Tiger.
You said yesterday.
Got to change that. Everybody knows Paper Tiger.
You got to come up with a new one.
Tiger.
Come up with a new one. Think about it. Over the weekend, come up with a new one.
While you're not worrying about
the beef super cycle.
While I'm weeding, I'll do it.
While you're weeding.
Yeah. I do a lot of weeding this week.
You're going to do any reading along with your weeding?
I'm reading The House of Morgan by Chernow. Not as good as Grant.
Or Hamilton.
Yes. Hamilton was good. He advised them.
But I want to read something on the Rothschilds. You got anything?
They hated each other so much.
I know. I wanted to.
That may have been not about money.
I'm sure our viewers now will help me out and tell me what good books to read, because I do want to start that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you in advance for your recommendations.
Meantime, 43-11 here, Jim. It's been curious. You know, we've seen Citi and B of A and RBC either lift their target
right.
or lift their earnings target. And that's like that's not about positioning.
No,
that's just
remember, Mike Wilson did come out this week and tell you time to go. Now, I disagree with Mike, but I have watched him on shows and I have come to a definitive conclusion about Mike. You know what it is? Incredibly nice.
Oh, boy.
No, that's not good.
No, it's not
nice
good.
Man. Nice no. man. Nicer than Ives.
I mean, the argument is that high rates work with a lag. You see Canada today, negative jobs print.
We'll see what happens as high rates come down. The money flows in. Yeah, I hope it doesn't flow into Carvana.
We probably get it. We very well could get 25 basis points in July.
No, it doesn't matter. You see, you can't wait until the final. You always have to do it the second. Yeah. I mean, Marty Zweig talked about it. The late Marty Zweig was so great. So we're gearing up. It's just that I don't want it to be done with companies that have a 30, 40, 50% short position. I'd like it to be done broad, but the leaders have to be in the financials because they're just from hell. They're from Hades. Do you know that everybody keeps cutting price targets because we still don't even know what the FDIC is going to do?
In terms of what, surcharges
yeah.
and the like?
Got to get that passed.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go right back, led by tech. Watch Oracle next week.
Yeah.
Oracle's going to be extraordinary.
Yeah.
People should be buying Oracle, and they're going to be happy. Buy half now, and then buy half after they report. Huh. Software Cats is going to deliver like you wouldn't believe. Stock's at 108, 52-week high, and it sells at 20 times earnings. Come on, that's what you buy. That's what you
just
buy.
One of the earnings we'll get next week, along with Lennar and
Lennar's
Kroger.
Lennar's going to have a record quarter. Yeah. They build the spec. You can't get – they can't meet demand, like Toll, like KBH, like Pulte.
There's no name you could name,
like
Carl, that he's not going to be able to discuss.
We should work on that.
None.
We'll figure
you can't
figure
go anywhere where he hasn't been.
A quick reminder, by the way, speaking of that, you can always get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Jim. You try to stump him. Sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/join the club or just point your phone at the QR code and it takes you straight there. Watch bonds today as we get the Fed next Wednesday and, of course, CPI on Tuesday. And at 43.11, fresh highs for the year. Don't go away. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
I mentioned earlier that Target could always bounce back. If you want to see an interesting possible bounce back candidate, it's Ulta. They had a quarter that was widely panned. And this morning, UBS says now it's their top pick. So if you take a look at that, that does look like the Target chart, actually. And Target has a great relationship with them. But I will say that if you give up on high growth after a big decline, that's always been the wrong thing to do. So I like this call by UBS very much.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Citi's, I mean, looking at the chart now of their Target foot traffic, which is not great.
No, look, Target's not good right now, but I'm just saying, Brian Cornell, back to school season, there are things that could go right.
All right, so how about tonight?
I have a company called Oshkosh on. They made a small deal. I like these deals because, David, it's so hard to find a deal. I'm going to go to Cava to do the deal, combine both. The lines at Cava are insane. It's a two-shift line.
Depends on what day. You know, there's one right down the block.
That's
here.
The one. Can't get into
Mondays
it.
Mondays and Fridays, no problem.
It's so crowded, you can't go.
No problem. Like Yogi Berra said, it's so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody goes anymore. Jim, good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you.
See you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. When we come back, more Tesla on track for 11 straight wins. That's the most ever. We'll talk with Wedbush's Dan Ives, who raises his target to 300, as we're just about 10 points from a 52-week intraday high on the S&P.
Here we go.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses,
No one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.